opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. Make sure you stay tuned in the next half hour to doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what is going on out there. And yeah, just a little crazy shakeup going on, so gotta let you guys know about that as well from our presidential administration. All right. Well, you know, today is Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to everybody out there. I hope you're doing your part to protect our Mother Earth and just find ways to help out, reduce, reuse, and recycle. One of the things I've really gotten into is recycling, and I find myself just finding ways to almost recycle everything. And then one of my friends was also telling me, you know, hey, if you buy stuff from the thrift store, you're also helping to reduce waste. And I was like, yes, I go to the thrift stores all the time. That is my favorite thing to do. So yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to help out, and composting and even having your own garden and stuff like that. So I hope you guys are doing your part in helping out for Mother Earth. And just a wonderful, beautiful day today. It's so nice outside. I hope you guys are enjoying the day. Well, I thought I'd start off with a song in honor of Earth Day, and of course I had to play some Istanba and their beautiful song Spirit of Mother Earth. Again, everybody, enjoy your Earth Day. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Thank you. Liz Jeans with the Healing Touch, and I am a new underwriter for KKFI. The reason I'm doing that now is because our world is a little odd, and all I can answer is I have to keep an open mind, an open heart. I have to think globally. I have to act locally. KKFI was my answer. They address so many issues that are so important, speak of them intelligently, and the music variety and diversity is what makes our world great. For these reasons, I hope you choose to support KKFI and any way that you can. Thank you so much. For more information, please go to kkfi.org.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here, and we have some guests in the studio. I was wondering if they were going to make it, but glad you guys were able to get in here and get in town. And I know that we had tried to get you guys in here before, and I think something happened. But go ahead and introduce yourself to Kansas City guest, all mystery right. Guest number one.
All right, that's Junia Ogichida. I'm from Red Lake Nation, Ojibwe. I came all the way over here, and thank you for having me. And just to introduce myself a little bit more, I'm a native hip-hop artist, activist, entrepreneur, leader. I'm also a father, a most important title that I hold. And, I just really like the fact that I'm here right now, and I'm just excited to be here, to be honest.
All right, awesome. Yeah. So what's your genre of music that you do?
Native hip-hop.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how did you get started in that?
Oh, actually, I went to the Institute of Production and Recording, and from there I released my first album called Smoke Signals, actually, and from there I got noticed from a couple of the people that wanted to sign me to record labels, and I started going with a record label, an all-native-owned record label backed by Sony. And from there, you know, things just kind of, like, went up, and that was 2014. And I just started doing, like, touring, like, all over the place, opened up for, like, Tyga, 2 Chainz, and Juicy J of 3-6 Mafia. I was with a group, a rap group, and we went to New York, and we got the title for Best Rap Hip Hop Recording of the Year. So that was pretty intense, you know, that's pretty dope. So is how I fell into the whole native hip hop scene. I actually really wanted to be an audio engineer, you know, like sound design, do stuff like that, and I was recording, like, a bunch of people, and, you know, I just wanted to see how I sounded, you know, just kind of playing around with stuff, and started playing around with, like, the different mixing and techniques, and, you know, just figuring out, like, the plugins and everything. And all of a sudden I was like, you know what, man, this sounds okay, you know. I was, like, really self-conscious about it, and then I released it to, like, a couple of people, a couple of friends, you know, and then they shared it, and then people liked it, and then from there, you know, people just wanted more. So I was like, man, you know what, I got a whole bunch of more songs, you know. So I started, like, releasing more, and all of a sudden I had a whole album that I put out, and people liked it, and they were vibing with it, and it was, like, my first solo thing that I ever did. And it was real. It was talking about, you know, like, my own struggles as a Native American, you know, growing up in the city, learning my culture, learning who I am, my identity, struggling with, like, at the time, you know, like inner city situations, you know, with being Native, and just the whole hassles of everyday life of being a Native today, you know, and struggling with the at the time, I was struggling with alcoholism, you know, and I put that in there because that's being real, you know, because I did at that point. Because before all of this started, I was actually in the military for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was really, like, a real hard struggle, integrated myself back into, you know, regular civilian society, going from, like, structured, planned out days to, you know, like, what am I going to do today?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we're here with Zumia, and he's a Native American hip-hop artist. And you're living in St. Louis?
No, I'm actually here. I was head dancing at the powwow.
Oh, okay.
I got invited down here because I also grass dance too.
Awesome, so. Awesome. Yeah, and that was yesterday at Washington University.
Yeah, danced all day.
Awesome. Are you sore?
Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, it's definitely like a hurt so good kind of sore.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So if people want to find you on the internet, where can they find you?
Oh, all you got to do is plug in Redskin 612, and you know, my name is Junia Ogichida. You know, you'll like see all my stuff all over the internet if you just do Redskin 612 on Facebook, Instagram, you know, stuff like that, you know, social media. So I like to follow people back, so you know, follow me, I'll follow you back, you know. And I like to like people's beadwork, you know, figuring out what people are doing out there, you know. It's all about social networking and connecting with people, and that's what I'm all about, to be honest. So
awesome. Okay, so you have one of your songs ready to go. Is it radio friendly?
Yeah, it should be. It's just to give you like a little history about it, it's my version of native pop music mixed with native hip-hop music.
Okay.
And a little bit of, you know, throwing in some little touch of culture and hand drums.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so.
And what is the song called?
Oh, it's called Shorty's a Keeper.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, so we're going to play this right now, so go ahead and start it up. That was Junia with Shorty's A Keeper. That's awesome. Really nice vibe there. I liked it.
Oh-ho!
Why do you think so many Native Americans are getting into hip-hop?
Well, they say that hip-hop, especially Native hip-hop, is like the most authentic way hip-hop is transforming today, because it's the most truest form of self-expression. And, you know, in my opinion, a lot of Natives were really creative people, expressive. And Native hip-hop is just another way to channel that creativity and just put out our stories, because everybody has a very unique story, a very expressive and interesting story. And that's just the way everything evolves right now. So everyone is just really liking the music, liking the fact that, you know, it gives them a voice. Because, like, music is just one of the ways that, you know, we can put our voice out there and be heard. People like it, they don't like it. You know, everyone's got their own tastes and talents, you know, and their own flavor. But, see, the thing is, it's your voice, and it's being heard. You can send a message, or, you know, you can have fun and just bounce with it. You know, it's just a very powerful tool, you know, just like social media. But that's a whole different thing. But it's just music. You know, you got to vibe with it. You know, you got to put good vibes out there. I just wish, I want to see more Natives making, like, positive music, you know. But a lot of Natives, you know, like, I didn't grow up, like, really positive, you know, in a positive environment. So my earlier music was all, like, negative stuff, you know. And I just want to hear more negative stuff, you know, like, pushed away, and more positive music, you know. Like, that's what the whole song Short Is the Keeper was about, was trying to, you know, uplifting and, like, a positive vibe, you know, like, bouncing with it, you know, giving, like, a positive light on not only, you know, men, but our women, too, you know, like, let them bounce and dance and, you know, and vibe to something nice made by, you know, a Native man, showing, you know, respect. You know, I did not say anything negative about a woman in my song. I didn't say anything negative about myself. I just wanted to put the good vibes out there, and that's what I'm trying to inspire, honestly. Just want to hear more positive music, radio-friendly music, because there's a lot of music out there. It's just, there's a lot of curse words and, you know, and just stuff that you can't put on the radio, you know. And I just want to hear more Native stuff on the radio and out there, and, you know, more on the mainstream, because, like, Native hip-hop is all underground, you know, pretty much wherever you go. And, you know, that's a good place to be, but, you know, it just would be nice to see us on, like, you know, the mainstream channels, and, you know, getting our voice heard on, like, a whole bigger scale, you know what I mean? Because, like, there's a lot of very talented Native artists out there, and I shout out to them, mad respect, and I thank every one of them for, you know, putting that voice out there, because they're talented, you know, so...
Definitely. I like that you're wanting to be more positive, because, you know, this week I saw a tweet of a gentleman who, a Native man, and he was talking disparagingly about Native women. And it was just, and it was funny because, like, boy, the women just pounced on it.
Yeah, of course,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, just kind of shamed him into realizing what he was saying. And it's like, how are you supposed to respect women if you're, you know, doing this insane stuff about our Native women? And basically he was saying he had a non-Native friend that he was going to introduce to the Rez women so they could make him a man. And it was just like, what? I mean, why would you say that? And it was really sad. And I would hope that our Native men aren't like that, or they're not thinking that way, and having a positive outlook on a relationship, and especially respecting our Native women, especially in this age of missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Yes.
And being careful about certain situations, you know, like putting that stuff out there, it just perpetuates a stereotype about our Native men and Native women. So I really appreciate that, you know, having a song like that, you know, showing that respect of Native women. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, I just got to show my love for, you know, because, like, man, we got really beautiful women, you know, and we got to pay the respects, you know. And just to give you a little background, I was raised by a very, very, very powerful, beautiful woman. That was my grandma. And, you know, she taught me about, you know, respect and how important our Native women really are, you know. Like, they birth nations, you know. That's how important they are, you know. We should take care of them. They take care of us, you know, and that's like a exchange of power, you know. Like, you guys are powerful, we're powerful, we're even powerful together, you know. Don't try to put each other down, you know. Bring each other up, you know. That's why they say rise, you know. Stick together, you know. Be the change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. We're in the studio with Junia, and he's a Native hip-hop artist out there. Where can people see you next, I guess, or, you know, around here, or, you know, in the future?
Right now I'm working on something non-music related, and it's just a fitness camp.
Oh, wow.
You go and learn survival skills, culture, almost like a warrior training camp, you know. But it's not about, like, being warriors, like protector, learning about being independent in any kind of situation. Like, if you get thrown out in the woods, you're going to know how to make fire, potable water, shelter. You're going to know your way around, navigate through the stars, you know, just being a survivalist, you know, being one with nature, you know. And that's really big with me, you know. I try to put my hands on, like in every situation that I can, you know, because I believe that never wasting a day, and that's what drives me, you know. I want to do something positive every single day, and this is, like, my contribution, trying to give back a little bit, is trying to is putting that avenue right there where people can go, our people can go, and learn about, you know, culture, learn how to, you know, be independent, like, with survival skills, like I just mentioned, learning how to make your own tools so you can make shelters, learning what you can and cannot do, learning how to what nutrition is, like, good for your diet, and figure out, like, A few months ago, I did this challenge just to show people that, you know, I'm not trying to put someone in a situation where I don't think that they're going to go through with it, because I don't believe in setting people up to fail. So I did it as a way of showing people that, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. So I had dropped, like, almost 30 pounds, my diet was no sugar, no flour, no dairy products, you know, because our indigenous bodies aren't meant for that, you know. Like, that's why a lot of us are lactose intolerant, you know, because our bodies ain't used to all of that. So doing that and doing cardio and showing people and sharing on my posts, you know, about culture, different ways of stuff, you know, just to give people, like, an idea of what this program that I'm getting set up, that's going to be a possible way for people to come and check it out. And, you know, and my hopes for it is to be successful in that endeavor, to where I can bring it to, like, different tribes across the nation, and I don't have to be there personally, but, like, other people will pick it up and keep teaching it and keep teaching it, you know. Like, big things have small beginnings. So.
Definitely. And you were at up in Standing Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
How was that? When did you go up there?
Oh, you know, I like to give people, like, a full insight and a full, you know, picture. I was with my grandma, you know. She's a very big influence in my life. And, you know, it was, you know, Gichimanidu, creator, was calling her home. And so I stood by her side, and I sat there for, like, 5 weeks straight. And just, you know, she took the time to raise me, so I took the time just to be with her in those moments. And right after that, I think like 2 weeks after, you know, I started seeing all the posts about, you know, our people getting hurt and mistreated and, you know, all that terrorism going on. And being in the military for 10 years, I took an oath to uphold this country from foreign and domestic terrorism. So after that was all over, I needed a place to heal. And a lot of people were telling me that that was a place for healing. So I went there, and sure enough, you know, I left that place feeling a lot better about myself because I was able to give back and contribute back to our people. And it's how I did that was when I got there, I was seeing all of the violence inflicted on our people. And before everyone walked up, you know, I wanted to walk up to the front lines by myself. So I did that, you know, I like walked up. And as I was walking up, the sheriffs and those army guys, they were all taking their positions, pointing their weapons at me, and it was just me walking up on this bridge, you know, with the concertina wires, and I was looking around, and there was burnt clothes, abandoned wet clothes, and there was just, it just looked like chaos on that bridge, you know, like a war zone, you know, and I was looking around, and I was like, man, this is terrible, you know, and I got up there, and their leader, whoever he was, captain, lieutenant, whatever, came up to greet me, and I was just like, hey, you know, I'm gonna let you know right now, I wanted to see this for myself. And he's like, oh yeah, well, who are you? I was like, all right, I'm Junya Ogichida. You know, I was like, I'm gonna let you know right now, I'm not a protester. I came here to protect these people from you. I'm an Ogichida. I'm a protector. That's my clan duties, is to protect the tribe. And these people, these are my people. This is my tribe. And he looked at me, and I was like, I'm going to let you know right now, I'm the first of many warriors to come. You know, because I was a part of that whole veterans movement, and I was liaison. And that's how I got put in a position to be chief of security for Standing Rock. Because I went up there, and I was talking to some guys. You know, I didn't care about, you know, if they were going to shoot me with those rubber bullets or hit me with the water cannons. I let them know that I seen all of that, you know, and I'm not the only one that was seeing all of it, because, you know, we have very strong warriors, you know, like, in our people. And I let them know right now, I was like, hey, I'm the first of many warriors to come. And they looked at me, and they knew I was serious, and they knew I wasn't there to protest anything. But I wasn't looking for a fight. I just was letting them know. And I was like, all right, you see this combat badge? You see this deployment patch? You see this rank on my uniform? Because I walked up there with my ACU top, you know, my uniform, with all of my awards and everything. I was like, I earned all of this on my uniform. Every single thing on here, 10 years in the military, air assault infantry. I earned everything on this uniform, protecting this country from foreign and domestic terrorism. And they looked at me, and they were like, I respect your service. And I looked at all of them guys, you know, and I was really serious, you know. I was like, I wish I could say the same. And as I was about to walk away, I looked behind me, and there was like all the water protectors were walking up. And I swear it looked like at least like over 1,000 of them come walking up. And, man, you could feel the power coming up. Very powerful. So I stood up on top of that razor wire and the concertina, that one brick divider. I stood up on top, and I looked at all of those guys. They still had their shotguns out with those rubber bullets and the water cannons and some kind of like sonic sound thing going on. And I yelled at them. I was like, if you're going to shoot rubber bullets, shoot them at me. Shoot them at this uniform. And they just kind of looked at me, you know, and they knew I was serious, you know. And I was like, I'm just one warrior. I'm protecting these people. Shoot me in this uniform. And they just kind of stood there, and they kind of, you see them kind of back down with their weapons. And, you know, the women come walking up and started, you know, praying with them and everything. And it was a very safe environment at that time. And I'm very proud to say that. I had got no reports about anybody being hurt after me and my friends set up our security there, because all the veterans, they knew how to take orders. We got stuff situated, and we got the camp going like a little bit more efficient security-wise. And it was just a very, very powerful thing. That's why I said it was very healing for me, because you know, I'm a Native American and I joined the U.S. military, you know, and it was my way of putting my experience and what they taught me to, and I used that to give back and contribute to my people in a very positive, powerful way. And when I left, I felt good about myself and I felt good about what was happening. And I felt like everybody there that came and contributed everything that they could, you know, even if it was just chopping wood, everybody there, I feel like we woke up the whole world now. You know, they didn't want us on the news. That's why social media is such a powerful tool. And I hope that really answers your question. So.
No, that sounds pretty great. Yeah, no, I was up there, but I was reporting. I wasn't right. involved in anything like that. But it was interesting to see all the different people that came from different nations down there and taking pictures. And it was funny because the very first time I went up there, of all things, one of my relatives came from Fort Belknap Reservation, and they just happened to come on the same day that I was there. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And so it was so weird seeing, you know, people you know, in this random places, and so it was really great, but it was great to see the involvement of everybody. And I know we had students from Haskell go, so mm-hmm. yeah, so it was nice.
Yeah, well, also the thing about it is when I got there, he was telling me that it was a Sitting Bull, you know, because it was all in the Sioux territory, you know, up that way. And they said that he said a prophecy, you know, like the seventh generation, you know, and that's what we are right now. And he said that they would create a change and all these nations would come together right here. Mm-hmm. And that's where it was. It happened like right at that spot he was talking about. And it was crazy to like be a part of that, because when I got there, they had put me in one of those teepees in the Horn, you know, the place of the prophecy. And I was like, whoa, man, it's pretty powerful, man. You know, it's like, I'm part of the Anishinaabe Ojibwe Nation, you know, Red Lake Nation, you know, and like the history there between, you know, Anishinaabe and the Sioux, you know, like, it was just really an honor to be a part of that situation where we could all come together. And it's just funny because you were talking about, you know, you go there and you meet somebody, like you just run into people, and that's what it was, you know. It was like we're all just came together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a prophecy foretold. And now look, you know, everybody's doing positive stuff since then, even more in a more positive light now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Junia, and he's a Native American hip-hop artist. thank you for being here with us and mm-hmm. sharing your stories and your music, and hopefully we get to see you again sometime soon.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So, we'll get back into the music. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
I've been ghost dancing in 12-inch ceremony mixed in reverse. I want to go back. Back to when hand drum circle cipher sessions spun the world. I've been ghost dancing on this modern platter of cemented long walks. I pray for buffalo with hose like hail. Stampede, please bump the table. Please bump the table. I can dance my toes over their grooved backs. Listen to the way hide grinds like pine nuts and gore to the hip-hop of extinct knees that snaps beautiful like a b-boy. The tribe is back. Quests no longer find thin sacks of bones in the plains. I've been ghost dancing, and I can see Narbona. Crazy Horse, ODB, Notorious B.I.G., and Red Cloud jump from their paved-over graves. I hear tribal wisdom. Your words, I hear prayer, I hear hands. Jam Master Jay shows us Shebek Eh. Through repetition, we dance. Through repetition, we dance. My moccasins need to be tied with the deer hide. Fat lace, spit shine, sterling silver stamp. Gotta look vamp before b-boys rip through stage. Decked out in braids, turquoise chains hang for days like 1862 Sioux warrior ways. And us new braves smile, cause Wovoka! Natives don't gotta be the only ones who come back. John Lennon, Robert Johnson, and Keith Moon play Eagle Bone Whistle inside Bob Marley's peyote clouds. We are rainbow proud. Forever, like Krylon feathers, we bomb this world in medicine wheel colors. Blue coats point their Gatling guns, but the bullets pass through us. Way ah, hey, hi, ah. The bullets pass through us, spreading spiritless splatters on the walls. They say graffiti is a stain. So like Wounded Knee, we sink in. Paint our faces black mask like we're mad villains dressed in ghost jerseys. We dance on aerosol petroglyphs. Our signatures lie upon all the silver in this glittering world. Shaolin is a cedar pine hogan. And Thug Mansion, a deer hide teepee. And we mix these gathering nations until we all permeate sage. So we bless ourselves and dance. We dance to remember. We dance until the world is gone. Everyone is gone. The world's a ghost and everything is silent. So we drop the sun dagger onto vinyl. And let it sing.
Writing KKFI's programming spreads the word about your organization or event and supports KKFI at the same time. Learn more at kkfi.org/underwriting.
You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And I just wanted to read this one story, and I didn't get to do your news across Indian country, but I wanted to let you guys know about this. It was a story put out today by Dan Diamond for Politico. It says the Trump administration says Native Americans might need to get a job if they want to keep their health care, a policy that tribal leaders say will threaten access to care and reverse centuries-old protections. Tribal leaders want an exemption from new Medicaid work rules being introduced in several states, and they say are precedents for health care exceptions. Native Americans don't have to pay penalties for not having health coverage under Obamacare's individual mandate, for instance. But the Trump administration contends the tribes are a race rather than separate governments, and exempting them from Medicaid work rules, which have been approved in three states and are being sought by at least 10 others, would be illegal preferential treatment. HHS believes that such an exemption would raise constitutional and federal civil rights law concerns, according to a review by administration lawyers. The Health and Human Service Department confirmed it rebuffed the tribe's request on the Medicaid rule several times. Seema Verma, administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, conveyed the decision in January, and officials communicated it most recently at a meeting with the tribes this month. HHS ruling was driven by political appointees in the General Counsel and Civil Rights Office, say three individuals with knowledge of the decision. Senior HHS officials have made it clear that HHS is open to considering other suggestions that tribes may have with respect to Medicaid community engagement demonstration projects. Spokeswoman Caitlin Oakland said, using the administration's term for work requirements that can also be fulfilled with job training, education, and similar activities. The tribes insist that any claim of racial preference is moot because they're constitutionally protected as separate governments dating back to treaties hammered out by President George Washington and reaffirmed in recent decades under Republican and Democratic presidents alike, including the Clinton, George W. Bush, and Obama administrations. Quote, the United States has a legal responsibility to provide health care to Native Americans, said Mary Smith, who was acting head of the Indian Health Service during the Obama administration and is a member of the Cherokee Nation. It's the largest prepaid health system in the world. They paid through land and massacres, and now you're going to take away health care and add a work requirement? Tribal leaders and public health advocates also worry that Medicaid work rules are just the start. President Donald Trump is eyeing similar changes across the nation's welfare programs, including which many include nearly 3 million Native Americans that they rely on that. It's very troublesome, said Katrine McCarron of the National Indian Health Board, noting that Native Americans suffer from the nation's highest drug overdose death, among other health concerns. There's high unemployment in Indian country, and it's going to create a barrier to accessing necessary Medicaid services. Native Americans' unemployment rate of 12% in 2016 was nearly three times the U.S. average, partly because jobs are scarce on the reservation. Low federal spending on the Indian Health Service has also left tribes dependent on Medicaid to fill the coverage gaps. So, sure, we're going to get an update on this. Very interesting to see what is going on. All right, well, I'll be leaving you off with some, believe this is Tanisha Begay of her Rhythm of the Love. Everybody have a wonderful week. Stay tuned for Sunset Reggae coming up next. And I'm signing off for Native Spirit Radio. Everybody have a great week.
when I'm with you, I feel so free. I open my eyes and you're not there. You're not real, so I don't care. Hey, oh, hey.
Feel so free.